Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Health Insurance Reports and ERISA Preemption Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 1st, 2016, the Supreme Court decided Gobiel v. Liberty Mutual Insurance Company. Liberty Mutual Insurance Company operates a self-insured employee health plan through a third-party administrator. Vermont state law requires such plans to file with the state reports concerning claims data and certain other information. When Vermont subpoenaed claims data from Liberty Mutual's third-party administrator, Liberty Mutual sued and argued that the Federal Employment Retirement Income Security Act of 1974 preempted the Vermont statute. The district court found no preemption and ruled in favor of Vermont. On appeal, a divided panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit reversed and held that ERISA preemption did apply. The question before the Supreme Court was whether the Second Circuit erred in holding that ERISA preempts Vermont's healthcare database law as applied to the third-party administrator for a self-funded ERISA plan. By a vote of 6-2, the Supreme Court affirmed the judgment of the Second Circuit. Justice Kennedy delivered the opinion of the court, which held that ERISA's express preemption clause requires invalidation of the Vermont reporting statute as applied to ERISA plans. Justice Kennedy's majority opinion was joined by the Chief Justice and Justices Thomas, Breyer, Alito, and Kagan. Justices Thomas and Breyer also filed concurring opinions. Justice Ginsburg filed a dissenting opinion, in which Justice Sotomayor joined. To discuss the case, we have Joshua P. Ackerman, who is an associate at Bartlett, Beck, Herman, Palinchar, and Scott, LLP. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Ackerman.
This case is interesting because it deals with the balance of state and federal power in healthcare regulation, which has been a traditional area of state authority. It's also notable because it's the first opinion issued by the Supreme Court after Justice Scalia passed away earlier this year. The case concerns a challenge to a Vermont statute that requires health plans to report data to the state. Vermont statute requires health insurers to report information relating to healthcare costs, prices, healthcare utilization, health insurance claims, and health plan enrollment to a state agency. Vermont passed this statute because they want to compile a database of all the healthcare claims in the state. These databases, which are called all-payer claims databases, are useful for regulators that are trying to control healthcare costs. That's because they provide transparency into private contracts between health insurers on the one hand and health providers on the other. So they help regulators understand things like what the doctors in a state are all charging for a given procedure. By providing this information to consumers, they can also help healthcare markets function more efficiently. If you know that Hospital A charges 30% less than Hospital B for the same procedure, you might choose to go to Hospital A. These databases are a popular form of state regulation. As of the time the decision came down, 18 states had some form of a database like this. Liberty Mutual filed suit to challenge Vermont's statute. Liberty Mutual is an insurance company, but their challenge isn't based on their status as an insurer. Rather, their challenge relates to health plans that Liberty Mutual offers to its own employees in Vermont. Liberty Mutual argued that Vermont's statute is preempted by the Employee Retirement and Income Security Act of 1974, or ERISA, and the question in this case is whether ERISA preempts Vermont's statute. Let's start with the concept of preemption in general. Under the Supremacy Clause, federal law can preempt a state law, meaning that the federal law governs and the state law has no effect. It's just displaced by the federal law. Preemption arises in two basic ways. The way that's relevant for this case is called express preemption, and that arises when a federal statute contains a provision that says that state law is preempted, the federal law governs. Preemption can also be implied, and that happens commonly when there's a conflict between a state law and a federal law, but for our purposes, we don't need to delve into that today. Let's turn to ERISA's statutory preemption provision. Section 1144 of ERISA says that ERISA supersedes any and all state laws insofar as they may now or hereafter relate to an employee benefit plan. So the key question for our case is whether Vermont statute relates to an employee benefit plan. To understand this issue, we need to talk a little bit more about how health insurance plans are funded. That's because ERISA's preemption provision contains a carve-out for state laws that regulate insurance, meaning that state insurance laws are not preempted by ERISA. Therefore, we have to understand when a health plan is insurance. There are two ways that health plans are commonly funded. First is called a fully insured plan. In a fully insured plan, your employer contracts with an insurance company and pays a premium. If you get sick, the insurance company is going to pay the cost of your care. These plans are insurance, and there's no doubt that state regulation applies to them. The second kind of health plan is called a self-funded health plan. If your employer provides you a self-funded health plan and you get sick, at the end of the day, your employer is going to pay the cost of your health care. These plans are more common among bigger employers that can spread the risk of health claims across a large number of employees. Liberty Mutual has a self-funded plan. This is important because in Metropolitan Life Insurance Company versus Massachusetts, the Supreme Court held that self-funded plans are not insurance for purposes of ERISA's preemption provision. That means the plans are governed by ERISA, and state statutes that regulate them are subject to the preemption analysis. Turning back to this case, Liberty Mutual filed for a declaratory judgment in the district court, asking the court to declare that Vermont's statute was preempted by ERISA. Liberty Mutual lost in the district court, but a divided panel of the Second Circuit reversed, and the Supreme Court granted certiorari. Before we delve into the opinion, let's talk a little bit about the court's earlier ERISA preemption cases. Those cases didn't provide a clear guide to this kind of issue, and they show that the court was wrestling with two competing aims. First, the court didn't want to displace state law in areas of traditional state regulation, like family law or, relevant for this case, healthcare. On the other hand, the court wanted to ensure uniformity of regulation for employer-provided benefit plans. That's the purpose of ERISA, and the idea here is that the less an employer needs to spend on compliance, the more dollars can be diverted to benefits for the employees. The first case to consider is called Shaw versus Delta Airlines. In Shaw, the Supreme Court took an extremely broad reading of ERISA's preemption provision. Basically, the court read the words "relate to" literally, so any state statute that related to an employee benefit plan was preempted by ERISA. Later on, the court became uncomfortable with that literal reading because it posed obvious problems. If you read "relate to" literally, then all kinds of state laws would be preempted by ERISA, and that simply wasn't what Congress intended. The court picked up on this concern in a case called New York State Conference of Blue Cross and Blue Shield Plans versus Travelers Insurance Company. In Travelers, the court said that if "relate to" were taken to extend to the furthest stretch of its indeterminacy, then for all practical purposes, preemption would never run its course. The court also emphasized that in fields of traditional state regulation, it had, quote, worked on the assumption that the historic police powers of the states were not to be superseded by the federal act unless it was the clear and manifest purpose of Congress. In light of all that, the court walked away a little bit from the literal reading of ERISA's preemption provision that we saw in Shaw. It said, quote, "We must simply go beyond the unhelpful text and frustrating difficulty of defining its key term and look instead to the objectives of the ERISA statute as a guide to the scope of the state law that Congress understood would survive." That's the backdrop against which the court decided Gobay. The majority in Gobay held that ERISA does preempt Vermont's law. Justice Kennedy wrote the majority opinion and was joined by Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Thomas, Breyer, Alito, and Kagan. Applying the reasoning from Travelers, the court looked to the purposes of ERISA, and it looked back at earlier cases that held that reporting, disclosure, and record-keeping are central to and an essential part of the uniform system of plan administration contemplated by ERISA. And then it looked at the Vermont statute, which obviously involves reporting requirements. And the court held that since reporting is core to ERISA and this statute regulates reporting, it's preempted. Pretty simple. One interesting wrinkle of this case is that Liberty Mutual hadn't put in any evidence of the cost of complying with the regulation. They simply argued that compliance with any regulation has costs. The majority did not spend any time dwelling on the lack of the cost of compliance. Instead, it focused on the possibility that other states would create different rules that required reporting of different information, and that the proliferation of a wide variety of different state regulations would become overly burdensome for health plans. Notably, that hasn't happened yet, but the court was clearly worried about that and wanted to cut it off at the bud. The majority also gave short shrift to the idea that healthcare is a traditional area of state regulation. In Travelers, we saw that the court was reluctant to find preemption in areas where the state was the traditional regulator, like family law or health care. But here, that didn't really trouble the court. The court acknowledged that in the past it had treaded lightly in areas of traditional state regulation, but in the case of ERISA, it said that ERISA certainly contemplated the preemption of substantial areas of traditional state regulation, and that any presumption against preemption, whatever its force in other instances, cannot validate a state law that enters a fundamental area of ERISA regulation and thereby counters the federal purpose in the way that this state law does. So the court walked back a little bit its comments in Travelers that it would tread lightly in areas of traditional state regulation, at least when those traditional state regulations interfere with ERISA. This marks a little bit of an expansion of ERISA's preemption provision, since now the argument that a given regulation falls within the state's traditional police powers doesn't get you any additional ground. Justice Ginsburg wrote the dissent in Gobey, and she was joined by Justice Sotomayor. In Justice Ginsburg's view, the majority had it wrong in that it looked at reporting requirements as the core aim of ERISA. Justice Ginsburg would instead take a more substantive view and say that ERISA is directed to ensuring the financial solvency and sound management of employee benefit plans, and since Vermont's statute was focused instead on regulating health care, there wasn't actually a conflict between the purposes of those two statutes. So what you have is a majority view that looks at the functional requirements of a regulation to determine whether there's preemption. If ERISA requires a health plan to keep records and report data, and a state law also requires the health plan to do those things, then the state law is preempted. For the dissent's part, they look at the purpose of the law. If ERISA regulates the financial solvency and sound management of a plan, and the state law regulates health care, then there's no conflict and both laws can stand. Justice Breyer wrote a concurring opinion in which he took a typically pragmatic stance, and he said that he saw no reason why the Secretary of Labor couldn't just pass regulations that would collect the information that Vermont and other states want. In his view, this would be a good solution to the problem because the states could have the data to build their databases, but it avoids this issue of a proliferation of hugely different state regulations that increase the cost of compliance. Justice Thomas also wrote a concurring opinion in the case, and in many ways, his opinion is the most interesting. Justice Thomas took a step back and said, if in Shaw we read ERISA's preemption provision literally, that means that any state regulation that relates to an employee benefit plan is preempted. He wondered whether that was constitutional, because if it taken literally, that provision would sweep in all kinds of state regulations that have nothing to do with interstate commerce, and if that were the case, ERISA's preemption provision may have exceeded Congress's power to pass a statute. He worried that Travelers, which, as you recall, was the case in which the court said that it wanted to look at the purpose of ERISA to decide whether there was prevention. In other words, it departed from the literal meaning of ERISA's preemption provision. He worried whether that case was a band-aid over this possible constitutional problem. And he called for the court to reassess its ERISA preemption jurisprudence to decide whether there was a fundamental constitutional infirmity with the statute. Taking a step back to look at the broader impact of this case, the first one is practical. This decision is going to hamper state efforts to gather the data needed for these all-payer claims databases. And that may mean that it's more likely that we end up with a federal solution. A lot of this data is needed to control healthcare costs, and this is obviously a big topic in healthcare regulation. And if it continues to be a big topic, it seems that the direction we're headed is that all this data is going to be collected by the Department of Labor, since ERISA, we now know, does not allow the states to do it. From a legal standpoint, there are two things about this case that are interesting. First, to some extent, Gobey vindicates the textualist viewpoint. If you read ERISA's preemption literally, this is an easy case. Vermont's law clearly relates to an employee benefit plan, and therefore it's preempted. The court is clearly uncomfortable with the breadth of that interpretation, either in this case or in others, and that's why it adopted the purpose test in Travelers. But Gobey shows that the difficulty of applying a purpose-based test to the many different kinds of state regulations that there might be out there. That's why you see this tension between the majority and the dissent tying themselves into knots as to the proper way to read the purpose of a statute. Textualists would argue that this difficulty is avoided entirely if the court had just stuck to the statutory text. And they would say that if that plain meaning generated an unacceptable outcome, it would be up to Congress to step in to fix it, not to the courts. The second interesting legal point about this case is that it shows that the court is more or less willing to stick with the current state of ERISA preemption doctrine. This opinion doesn't change the basics of that doctrine, it just continues to tinker at the edges on a case-by-case basis. The court clearly isn't willing to take up the broader questions raised by Justice Thomas's dissent about whether ERISA's preemption clause is constitutional at all, nor does it really seem willing to revisit the fundamental tension between Shaw and Travelers. The odds that the court revisits ERISA preemption doctrine in a fundamental way may have been hampered by the death of Justice Scalia. Justice Scalia had previously written that the court needed to bring ERISA preemption doctrine in line with other preemption doctrine, and that point is also raised by Justice Thomas's dissent. But with the unfortunate passing of the justice earlier this year, it seems unlikely that the court is going to take that fundamental step now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.